Thank you, Paul, for setting the tone for the morning message. Most of you don't need introduction to our brother this morning, Brother Sam Dalton. He was with us several years ago, and I'm sure you're looking forward to having him with you the next five nights, six nights, however many there are. The short background that you have in the bulletin this morning is about as much as I know about Sam. I came in the study this morning and I said to him, Sam, you don't look any older than you did. I said, Brother Sam, you don't look any older than you did the last time I saw you. And he came right up with a scripture, and I'm going to let him introduce himself with that scripture when he comes to the podium. But he also said, you usually close at 10:30. I said, yes. He says, is that a.m. or p.m.? He could go on to p.m., but I think he understands. Brother Sam, give him that verse you gave me. Brother Sam Dalton, God bless you.
Yes, thank you so much, Harold, and it's a real delight to be with you, and I shared with Harold when he mentioned that I didn't look any older. There's a wonderful verse in Psalms 149, verse 4. You know what it says? The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. But what I didn't share with Harold, I will share with you. Just because you're all out for God, you don't have to go around looking like you're all in. I believe that with every fiber of my being. Look, it's a real delight. And look, if I was a total stranger, I still wouldn't need any introduction. You know why? You don't make any time and take any time talking about the channel. We make over the Lord Jesus, who says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The Lord Jesus made it so clear in the Gospel of John chapter 15 when he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And at the outset, you just might as well know, for those of you who haven't, don't know me, you see, I don't believe in messing around when it comes to just giving the word. You just give it like it is. You don't try to make people believe anything, because you see, you can't make people believe anything anyway. The Holy Spirit doesn't make people do that. And you can learn this from, you remember when Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan? You remember how the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended upon him? Doves don't shove. And so you see, when I meet pushy preachers and pushy evangelists and pushy moms and pushy dads, just pushy people, period. They're simply letting me know that they're not controlled by the Spirit of God, who doesn't shove, but who draws. And that's really what it's all about. And it's from that, and that's the way we'll be talking this week. See, I'm not here on an ego trip. I'm on the way to heaven. I'm simply making a stop in Pennsylvania. And the wonderful Lord that our Paul was singing about one of these days, as he so faithfully promised, he's coming again to receive us into himself, that where he is, there we may be also. In the meantime, we don't have to endure life. We don't even have to be like the Israelites back there in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, who was on that merry-go-round, going around and around in frustration, all because of unbelief. I'm an American. I know that there are many Americans who wouldn't believe that fat meat is greasy if you tied a dripping chunk on their forehead. That's not my problem. That's their problem. See, my business is just keep on just raving over the Lord Jesus, who says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. So if you have your Bibles today, because we'll not be long, he says 10:30, and I'm aware of the fact that Sunday school is next, and it doesn't take long anyway. I've learned that when it comes to speaking, you just simply get up, you speak up, and then you shut up. If you don't strike oil in a few minutes, you quit boring. And I believe in that. And I'll be glad when in Washington they get that message. And I know you in Pennsylvania will be glad when they get it in Harrisburg. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let that suffice for our reading. I don't even have to stand here and say this morning, the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of his word, for the simple reason that that's the business that he's in, the blessing business. And he has said to us in language that we can understand, as recorded way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. In Psalms 138, verse 2, from the middle to the end of the verse, we read this, he hath magnified his word above all his name. I hear the psalmist say in Psalms 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Peter, the big fisherman, and you know him in the New Testament, he was one of those fellows who many times he opened his mouth, he put his foot in it. Many times he spoke and his brains was out of gear. You know anybody like that? Don't point. But that's the kind of guy Peter was. And moved upon by the Spirit of God as he writes to the Christians who were scattered in the various sections, he says in chapter 1 of the first letter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And may I share with you something, friend? I'm aware of the kind of day in which we live. We have inflation, we have pressures, we have pain, we have problems. Ah, but here's what we have as Christians. We have a guarantee of his presence. For he who died for us nigh under 2,000 years ago said it this way, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now that's a message that isn't too often believed. And you can tell the way people, yes, many times born again, get on the panic button and just come unglued. And then when you talk to them about it, you know what they say? Well, I'm only human. It's like the man on the plane that I was talking to, and he said, my, you talk a lot. I said, to people, sir, and had you been an alligator, I wouldn't have said a word to you. You see, we talk to people, and we have someone to talk about. And that someone is the one of whom Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is not the theme of the Bible. According to John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus is the living word. For there we read, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I happen to be one of those guys who today is very grateful for the word of God. I didn't appreciate it as a youngster. I had to memorize Bible verses, and that's one of the reasons I ran away from home, to get away from a mother who had her head screwed on right. But let me share with something. When we go to speak to businessmen, or when you go to prisons, or when you go to schools, you don't talk about current events. You just simply give them the word, and you give it to them in a down-to-earth language. You know why? It's the only thing that works. It is the word of God that makes us sure. The blood makes us pure. But the word makes us sure. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, could say it this way, thy word was found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It was the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. He's standing in the center of a room, in a home, as it were. And you know what the Bible says? And he just simply preaches the word to them. He's the sent one, and he gives the word. It is the Lord Jesus again in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. He's now in a boat, and he uses that boat like we're using this piece of furniture. He uses that boat, and he asks Peter to just push it out a little from the land. He sits down in the boat, and from the boat, he just simply preaches. He gives a word to the people. And friend, may I say it this way to you as I speak to my own heart. If you're not going by the book, you're not going. It isn't what they say. They've been lying for years. It is what he says. We sing a song. You probably sing it under this very roof.
My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. It is the Word that you go by. Many years ago, God speaks to Moses. And in the chapter 25 of Exodus, God not only tells Moses that he was to take an offering of the people who were of a willing heart. He tells them exactly what he was to take of them. There was gold, silver, precious stone. There was linen, and there was badger skins. There was goat skins, and all of the different things that God tells Moses he was to take of the people who were of a willing heart. And then he gives Moses a pattern for the tabernacle. And again and again, the Lord God said to Moses, the man of God, he says, see that thou make it according to the pattern which was shown thee in the mount. And when you read from chapter 25 through chapter 39 of Exodus, it seems naturally like a lot of just vain repetition, a lot of dry words, needless, as some would say in our day. But when you get to chapter 40, the tabernacle is complete. It is set up. And because Moses didn't deviate one iota from the divine pattern, from thus saith the Lord, the glory of God filled the place. Friends, do you know why today the glory of God does not rest upon the average individual or group of individuals who are redeemed by precious blood? Very simple. A departure from the divine pattern. Even in evangelical circles, you know what people say? We're finding it. And I haven't been traveling that long, almost 13 years. And people say, oh, but Brother Sam, this is a different day in which we live. Hogwash. The day might be different, but the methods of God haven't changed. The Lord Jesus, of whom we read about in the Bible, is the same yesterday and today and forever. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. As a friend of mine used to say, he didn't come to bug us, he came to bless us. I listened to his own words as we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 17. Speaking to a fellow who could have well been, according to the historians, the third richest
son into the world and condemned the world, so that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. But let me say it this way, because we'll be talking about this all week. There's much more to the Christian life than a ticket to heaven. There's much more than being saved. You know what the Word says. Jesus is the secret. And what does he say? In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, from the middle to the end of the verse, he says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And friend, he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about the nasty here and now. In our inflated age, you can have a ball as a Christian, providing the Lord who's inside and all of his resurrection life and power is simply allowed to be who he is, and have his rightful place, which according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, is first. And so this is the way we're going to be talking this week. Now, some of the things I say you might laugh at. I make no apologies for that. I happen to be one of those Christians who believe with every fiber of my being that the Lord has a sense of humor. If you don't believe that, first chance you get, you check a mirror. I don't believe that God is like some people got them all fast. Somebody up there with a great big club, and he's waiting for us to make a mistake so he can mash us. I don't believe that. Never did believe that. I believe that God loves us, and the proof of his love is Calvary. God loved us so much that he sent the best that heaven had, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he loved us so much that on Calvary's cross, he poured out his life's blood. And like the Word of God so clearly said, he put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. We who were sinners. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And God was so pleased with the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus, in your stead, in mine, that he stamped his divine approval upon it by raising him from among the dead. And this day, April the 29th, 1979, he's very much alive. The Word of God says he lives in the power of an endless life, and he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them. I don't know when he's coming. I don't believe that those guys who are predicting the day of his coming, they don't know when he's coming. No man knows the day or the hour. But I know this, that he's coming again to receive his own and to himself. And in the meantime, we don't have to endure life. We can enjoy life. Because it isn't us living for him. It's not us doing for him. It's us simply allowing him who's on the inside. Some of you who know, I always carry a straw. I don't know how many of you got one in your purse or got one in your pocket, but this is good for me. It reminds me that this is what I'm to be like. Only one exception, that straw has no life. But that straw is flexible, and that straw is a channel. And that's what we're to be, all of us who are redeemed by the precious blood of the Son of God. All of us who have put our trust in this wonderful one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you drink pop or milkshake through something like that, you never pull out the straw at the conclusion of the drink and say to the straw, oh, you beautiful thing, I just love the way you deliver the good. You never make over the channel. You always make over what goes through the channel. And in this case, it's not what, it's who. Now, this may come as a shocker to some. There's not a person alive. There's never been a person alive other than the Lord Jesus who was capable of doing anything right. Let's make that very clear. I don't know why that in America we seem to be so slow getting that message. It isn't no such thing as good men. If it's good, it's God. If it's good, that's us. We just can't do anything right. It's the Lord who is the one. And all the glory goes to him. The reason for that is, there's no fleshly glory in his presence. And so, friends, this is the thing I'm learning. You know, I used to think when I first started traveling, boy, I was going to go around here and turn the world upside down. I can do nothing. It's the Lord who does it. And he is in the mass production business. He deals with us as individuals. He loves us as individuals. And by his spirit, he's the one that just pulls, as it were, gently on the very cords of our hearts. It is the Spirit of God that convinces us of our lost and our hopeless condition. It is he who reveals to us Christ. And it is he who enables us to be overwhelmingly victorious in this pressurized age in which our lot is cast. And he does it all. That's the reason that the Bible says way back there in a book that's many times referred to as one of the minor prophets. In the book of Zechariah, we read it this way, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. And so this week in the downdoors, I haven't even met your pastor. And if he writes like he talks, well, he's got his head screwed on right. I'm looking forward to seeing him tonight. But I've never met him. Looking forward to that. I know that apart from the marvelous grace of God, we'd have never met, see? But looking forward to that, but we're going to have a great time. Now, whatever you do, don't expect me to be like Pastor Thrush, okay? I couldn't be him if I was the soap in a barrel of bleach. Couldn't. And he couldn't be me if he spent the rest of his days on the beach. So don't expect me to do it like him, because I don't try to be like anybody else. Said to a dear lady this morning, she said, I remember you. I said, yes, my wife's husband was here a couple years ago. And it just kind of got her, you know. Now, that's the way we talk. And the reason I talk that way is I want to tell you something. Did you know that as a nation, we have lost the ability to think? Did you know that there are lots of people who let other people do the thinking for them? Well, here's one guy that won't do that. And you make people think. I give people a track, you know. I say, here's a picture of my wife's husband. And you know what some people are saying? Do you know him? Prove that they're not thinking. And that's the reason you got to say it over and over again, and you learn something. I learned something from the commercials on television, and the commercials, the radio, and then the printed page. They say it over and over and over again. Well, look, friends, we have the only message that works. It is of God. It is concerning his son, Jesus Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Declared to be the Son of God with power. It is the gospel. And you just give that message over and over again. And when you're talking to Christians, you share with Christians. I dare say that there could well be moms and dads in this place today, maybe discouraged, deep down under it. Discouraged. I got some good news for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 says that he is the God of all encouragement, who encourages us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to encourage others with the same encouragement or comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The truth is that discouragement is the most effective tool of the enemy of souls. And don't sit there and say, oh, but it's only natural. Don't say, oh, if you were going through what I was going through, you'd be discouraged too. Not necessarily, friend. A little over 3 years ago, I think I told some of you about it when I was here last time, we lost our home, burned down. And would you believe it, had it happened 10 years ago, I would have probably just, as they say, go bananas, went out of my mind. But it burned down, and I was 500 miles away. When I got back to town, you know, people were saying, oh, Brother Sam, what is the Lord trying to say to you? I said, he's not trying to say anything. They said, what did he say? I said, he said, move. You know, well, what are you going to do? The house is burned down. You know, they look at you real crazy like. And then somebody else says, oh, Brother Sam, I'm sorry to hear about your father. I said, oh, relax. The devil did it, but God allowed it. And you knew we needed new underwear. I mean, nothing can happen to us unless the Lord allows it, right? I mean, do we really believe that, that nothing can happen unless God allows it? I'm beginning to wonder how many believers really believe it, what we read in Psalms 31:15, that our times are in his hands. How many really believe what the Bible says? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Friends, may I share this with you, brother and sister in Christ? We're not on the winning side. We're on the side that is already won. Never again will they march him down the streets like public enemy number one. Never again will they spit in his face, crush his beard, plow his back, such they did. And had we been alive, we too would have mingled our spittle with theirs as we spit in his face, and with their cry would have said, crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us. Oh yes, because that's the kind we were. We were born that way. We got that from our foreparents, Adam and Eve. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Thanks be unto God for his marvelous grace, and today finds us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Not only raised with him, but seated with him in the heavenly. How can we miss? The only way we miss is by us putting our hand on it. And everything that we put our hand on, we ruin it. Take your hand off and he will run it. And the only difference in the two words is the I. Run, ruin. If your life seems to be on a toboggan going downhill, it could be that you got your hand on it. The Word of God makes it very clear, for we are dead, and our life is here with Christ in God, in the book of Colossians. And so this week it'll be the Word, in a simply a down-to-earth language. I like to forget many times I'm meeting in the building where the church meets, because there are a number of times where, for instance, on Sunday morning, you meet some people who are what we call SMO, S-M-O, Sunday morning only. That's the only time you'll see them. And I know that. That happens all over our country. And then you meet some people who just want the Lord to get them off of the hook. Then you meet some people who are like the folks when Jesus was here on earth in person. They just wanted the bread and the fish, just for what they could get out of the Lord. Thanks be unto God, there are those who love the Lord. And because they love him, they obey him. And so they're the ones who are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For they're learning what it is to just simply practice what that verse teaches in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So to the down-to-earth language. And I want you to be as relaxed sitting there as I am standing here. We'll have a ball this week and God will get the glory. That's all that matters. I'm not concerned about people getting chops in the arm because God's not in that business. He charges us with his presence. I'm not concerned about people feeling anything because our feelings are just like Pennsylvania weather, subject to change. It isn't figuring, it isn't feeling, it's simple faith. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. And without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. And I like to use the acrostic, and I'll be probably doing it during the week. A lot of words we spell. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's what honors God. Way back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. I hear the Lord saying through the mouth of the available channel, them that honor me, I will honor, and them that despise me, I will lightly esteem. It is the Lord Jesus. He's the living word. It is the Lord Jesus that we shall be presenting, because he's the one that makes breathing on the planet worthwhile. And if you hear that he's not on the inside, let me forget that I'm in a building where the church meets and say it like we would say it in a school or a prison. then your breathing has got to be one of the biggest wastes in the universe. And you're just a 40 with the 4 rubbed out. But the good news is that God loves you. He demonstrated that love for us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. And this wonderful Christ is equally available to all. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, for his word which liveth and abideth forever. May our hearts be prepared this week to not only hear thus saith the Lord, but to respond in a very affirmative manner to the glory of God, to thus saith the Lord, for his name and mercy's sake.